This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. The week is almost over. We're discussing at length the dumbing down of America, why these politicians think they can just lie to our faces and get away with it. Why do they get away with it? And I'm not going to recap the whole first hour. It's a long hour. We put a detailed bunch of stuff in there. Go download a podcast of it. We're going to talk. We're going to put a bow on this dumbing down of American public in a moment. Talk about some really good things that I'm seeing out of Trump lately. We're going to do some emails. I need to remind you, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So externally, early in the 20th century, the Soviets came here, found a home here in the teachers' unions, started educating our kids. Fast forward, the horrors of World War II, the baby boomer generation, generations of kids all of a sudden raised differently in this country. That's a big part of it. The American church attendance began to plummet 50s and 60s in this country. All that sexual revolution, drug stuff was look, there's a lot to a lot of this. And this is, we could do 20 hours, 90 hours on all this stuff. We're just fast forwarding through some things here. So that's a big part of it. Again, doesn't matter what you believe, what you don't believe. If you have a society, there has to be some sort of, I don't want to say universally accepted, but mostly accepted values of right and wrong. To have a cohesive society, to have a cohesive culture, I have to value the same things my neighbors value. They need to value the things I value, because then that's how we have cohesiveness. That's how we have togetherness. And in fact, you probably do this if you've ever had or have right now the financial freedom to do this. You've probably done this without even really realizing it. I've done it. Where do I live now? Do I live in Houston proper? No. Downtown Houston? No. Why? Well, my values now that I'm a parent, I value a safe neighborhood. I want to be in a neighborhood where people don't get robbed, people don't get shot. Okay, that's part of it. I value people around me who share similar political views to me. That's something I value. I want people around me to own guns. I want to live in an area where kids can run out and play in the streets. So what did I do? I sought it out. I ended up in a financial position where I could buy it, and I bought a house in a suburban neighborhood for that reason. That's what I valued, so I could live around people who share my values. And as such, we now have a very cohesive neighborhood. As a nation, it works very similarly. This is part of the reason you see, I'm not going to get on a long sidetrack here, this is part of the reason you see so many issues when it comes to mass immigration of Islam into Western countries that are not Islamic. That's not being against Islam or against Muslims. I actually have a bunch of Muslim friends. I have no problem with it at all. But that religion, when you import it en masse, has proved to not mix that well with Western society. It just, the mixture, it's turned out to be oil and water in places like the UK, in Minneapolis, in Michigan, in other places. You see this in France. It has been an oil and water mixture. However you want to describe that, I don't give a crap. And remember, I really don't give a crap if you're offended. I don't care. About if you get offended by anything, you can email me. I'll still won't care. I'll laugh. Okay? So I don't care. It has been a disaster to mass import a religion that was not native to Western civilization. To import that in mass has not worked for Western civilization. Period. End of story. It simply has not. It hasn't. Why? Different cultural values. Value different things. Look, I'm looking at Chris right here. Why do Jews and Christians in America, why has there been historically in this country not really a lot of tension there? It's just not something that you see. I know historically in Europe and things like that. Why is there not a lot of tension there? Well, I give Chris crap about it and we joke about it, but there's so much overlap with our two value systems and belief systems. Granted, Chris stops at the New Testament and I do not, but there's so much overlap there that culturally, you could live right next door to a bunch of Chris's. Not that you would ever want that, but you could live right next door to a bunch of Chris's and it would be culturally similar. His kids in the street with your kids. You're eating bacon. He's not, but still you're getting along. You understand what I mean. Cultural values matter. That brings me to another thing that has helped demoralize and dumb down this country. And this is one of the things that was done intentionally by American Democrats, with Republicans helping them much of the way. The mass import of other cultures, period. Look, I bring up this village, the 100-person village, I bring it up a lot as a country, as an analogy, but in case you're just now joining us or you're new to the show, we're in a village, you and me. Forget about America, we're going to a village. There's 100 of us who live in this village. It's rural, completely remote, no electronics, just we're in Africa somewhere. We have mud huts or thatch roofs and things like that. We do cattle and we raise corn and that's our village. It's our whole nation. It's our tribe. Now, can we, as a 100-person village, can we welcome a dude from another village, maybe even a family, a dude and his wife, couple kids, they come to us from another village and their village has different customs. They eat differently. They worship differently. They kind of talk differently. But can we allow that family to come into our village really without much of a hiccup? Of course we can. Why? Because when this family is such a small minority, they will be forced to assimilate to our culture. Doesn't mean they have to adopt our religious beliefs or something along those lines, but just because he's so outnumbered and overwhelmed, he can't. If his kids want to go to school at the school hut, he's going to have to come around. If he and his wife want to have a big cookout, we just slaughtered a cattle, it's Friday cookout time, they're going to have to speak the way we speak. Again, forced assimilation because you're such a minority is historically how immigration and immigration problems have been handled. But Democrats back in the 50s, 60s realized, wait a minute, we're kind of going commie here. The American people are, they're resisting a lot of this stuff because Americans are more inherently freedom loving. But you know who doesn't? People from Mexico. What if we just gathered up a lot of people from Mexico and brought them here en masse? And that went on to past Mexico, South America, Central America. Today, it looks like the entire planet. That's part of the reason Joe Biden and his communists around him opened up the border when Trump took over immediately. It was the first thing they did. Hey, open up the border. Let them all in. Why? Democrats figured out forever ago bringing in foreigners en masse. Yeah, it may change the culture. It's going to water everything down, but we'll just sell it to the dumbed down American public of, hey, we're a multicultural, we're a melting pot. We'll sell them on that. And the people we bring in en masse will vote Democrat forever. And more importantly, the 87 kids they have will also vote Democrat forever. Mass importing new voters to ensure you stay in power forever. And then, of course, you have a bunch of James Lankford type low-T Republicans who are so stupid and or treacherous, they don't realize what's happening or don't care what's happening. So they try to help them do it. Well, I mean, we are going to dig in and we're going to do a bipartisan border bill. After all, I'm from Oklahoma. And because it's a red state, I know no one will show up in the primary to vote my ginger butt out. So I'll keep pushing this bipartisan border bill that will guarantee the border stays open forever and give us millions of new votes. After all, that's the Christian thing to do. I think I'll go campaign at another Baptist church in Oklahoma. That's what he did. That's how he's there. Republicans, weak-kneed Republicans, facilitated this invasion. Now, all that combined with other things has brought us here. It's brought us to a place where Democrats can have a convention. The convention, when you're a party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, when you have your convention, you know the eyes are on you. You want to put on a show, a spectacle, a stage. All eyes are on you. And now, with the eyes of the nation on them, Democrats feel completely comfortable just telling huge lies.
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
It's where we are. Whatever. I want to move on. I want to do some emails, and I want to talk about a couple really good things I've seen lately out of Trump. Before I do that, I want to talk to you about putting your money where your morals are. This is something we all have to focus on more and more, and I wish we didn't. I wish it didn't matter what kind of cell phone company you had. I wish that didn't matter at all. I wish we could go back to my childhood when we didn't ever have to deal with this. But that's not the world we live in now. In this day and age, your cell phone company uses your money against you. If you have Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, they use your values. They use your money to dump on your values, I should say. They take your money and they fund the most despicable commie groups in this country. Pure Talk has never and will never do that. They love this country. They speak lovingly about veterans, God, service. Pick up your phone, dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. It takes 10 minutes on the phone to switch. You'll save money. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. That's a helpful note Chris just gave me. If you're one of the people who watches this show on they simulcast this show on the First TV, the same TV channel where I do my TV show every night. They simulcast the radio show so you can watch me do radio. If you've been watching and you've noticed it's not on there, it's because we lost Michael, producer Michael. So it's probably going to be back tomorrow if not Monday, but it will be back. The simulcast of the radio show will be back. So if that is your thing, you like doing that, I get that that's a big thing now. It's not gone forever. It's on a temporary hiatus. Also, we have already found a replacement for Michael. I'm excited about it. I will introduce him when the time comes. You can stop sending in your resume. I am quite flattered, but we've officially found somebody. So there's a couple programming notes there. Let's do some emails before I get to the Trump stuff. Some good things happening out there. Dear Burgermeister, my moron coworker said he will be voting for Harris because Tim Walz reminds him of his uncle who he used to play dominoes with. I understand that expecting Norm and Norma to suddenly start caring about policy is unrealistic, but how do we at least start branding our candidates to normies better to get a similar effect? Listen, thank you. Okay, so first, I've run into these people before. I understand your frustration. I've relayed to you before the story of me running for Congress and running into the woman who didn't vote for me. She's a Republican woman, older woman. She didn't vote for me. And I asked her why. I wasn't upset about it. It's no big deal. Whatever. Vote for whoever you want. I asked her why. And I was expecting, you know, you're too pro-life or too right-wing or too cocky or that. All those things were understandable. I was very cocky. Thankfully, I'm nothing like that now. But she said to me that I reminded her of her ex-husband. I don't know this woman's ex-husband. I don't even know what that meant. But it was a revealing moment in my life. I just stood there, my jaw, I can still picture me sitting there just with my jaw hanging open thinking, that's the dumbest freaking thing I've ever heard in my life. So if your coworker is really voting for Tim Walz because he reminds him of his uncle, yes, your coworker's a moron, but that's also why they chose Tim Walz. We've talked about this a lot over the last week or two. Why the choice of Tim Walz? What does he do? Well, the Democrat Party is the hate America party. It is the communist, hate America, ban fracking, take your guns, open up the border, anti-white party. They campaign on this openly. White this and white that and men suck and we're going to ban. Look, here's Dome.
Climate change is the single greatest threat facing our world today. That's why I am committed to passing a Green New Deal, creating clean jobs, and finally putting an end to fracking once and for all.
What does, not you, not a Republican in Pennsylvania, not a Republican, set that aside, normie Pennsylvania voter. You think he's okay with that? Let's even call him a Democrat. He's a 65-year-old former firefighter, but he's a Democrat. So he's a normal dude. He's going to have a beer on Sunday, maybe even goes to church. What's he think when he hears things like this?
It has to be about a goal of saying everybody should end up in the same place. And since we didn't start in the same place, some folks might need more. Equitable distribution. Giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out.
What's that dude think? Normie Democrat in Pennsylvania. He thinks, holy crap, these people really are a bunch of dirty commies. So what that guy needs, what his conscience needs, he needs for Democrats to give him a reason to vote for them. Even if he won't vote Republican, he hates Trump or hates Republicans, that's fine. But he's starting to feel a little uneasy. I mean, the Dems even love the child tranny stuff. It's really weird. He's uneasy. 65-year-old white Union Democrat guy's uneasy. So what do you need? You need this.
I know guns. I'm a veteran. I'm a hunter. And I was a better shot than most Republicans in Congress, and I got the trophies to prove it. But I'm also a dad. I believe in the Second Amendment, but I also believe our first responsibility is to keep our kids safe.
That is what 65-year-old normie Democrat needs to hear to ease his conscience and get him into the polls voting for full-blown communism this November. And Democrats, to their credit, are smart enough to know that's what he needs to hear. We know this now. Since I've been telling you this, we've had multiple articles printed out that essentially exposed the game plan. Yeah, he's our Midwest whisperer. We know we have problems with white guys. Tim Walz helps bring them back. Walz brings in the Midwest white guy who's afraid of us. Democrats are the Communist Party of urban anti-white elites who hate the United States of America and believe in full-blown communism. You can't sell that to Rust Belt normie Democrat in Wisconsin who goes deer hunting every winter. Therefore, you go grab a human shield named Tim Walz.
I know guns. I'm a veteran. I'm a hunter.
And that's all that guy needs to hear. That's why he's there. He serves his purpose. Speaking of guns, are you in a state where you can't have one? A city where you can't have one? When you go to the supermarket, when your wife, your husband, your mom runs down to the grocery store, do they have something that will stop a bad man from hurting them? There are bad men. I'm about to actually play you audio here in a minute of a mother of one of the young ladies who was brutalized by one of these illegals, and it's a hard story to hear. Carry something on you. Carry a Byrna pistol launcher on you, and make dang sure that daughter you sent off to college has one on her as well. Byrna pistol launchers are legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. It's non-lethal. So if she gives you, "Daddy, I don't like guns," don't even call it a gun. Call it whatever. Tear gas rounds or pepper rounds. Everyone will live. Ease her conscience. But more importantly, she will live unassaulted. That's what matters the most. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you 10% off. Get one for yourself and the person you love the most. Byrna.com/Jesse. Some Trump stuff next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Do not forget tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. All 3 hours are dedicated to your questions. Get them emailed in now, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, before I get to the Trump stuff specifically, a couple things I really like that I'm hearing out there. I heard this earlier today, and I wanted to play it for you. It can be a little hard to hear, and I am going to cut it off at some point because it's long. But Trump went down to the border today, and while he was at the border, he had some families, obviously at his invitation, they showed up at the border with him, families of young women who've been murdered by the illegals Joe Biden and Kamala Harris led into the country on purpose. Illegals James Lankford tried to help them let into the country on purpose. I need to make sure I remind you of that. And I just feel like this mother deserves to have her say. I don't have any other reason to do this. I feel obligated to hand her the airwaves for a couple minutes because as a parent, I don't dwell on this, and I'm certainly not an anxiety-ridden person, as you could probably tell, pretty laid back on things. But as a parent, every now and then, you have this thought whenever you see someone go through something, a parent go through something about that phone call. She's going to talk about the phone call here in a moment, but that phone call, hey, your son's been in an accident. Hey, there was a shooting. Hey, and in that brief moment when you have that thought, there is a feeling of panic and desperation that wells up inside of you, and it goes away really quickly because it's just your imagination, right? But you think about all the parents out there who have had that phone call. They've had that phone call about their daughter, their son. And there are people listening. Maybe it's you. Listen to the sound of my voice. You've had that phone call. And I just don't think I would be able to go on. I don't think I would be able to get up the next day, just bury me. I'm done. If something like that happened to one of my buddies. But anyway, I just felt like this lady deserved her say. So what you're going to hear is Trump, he welcomes her to the podium, gives her a hug, says a little something that's kind of hard to hear. And then, well, here she is.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Take care of yourself. Absolutely. We don't want to have...
Hi. I was just thanking President Trump for the invitation to come and to share Rachel's story. Rachel was 37 years old. She had 5 children. She worked. She owned a small business. She worked very hard to support her family. And the trail that Rachel ran daily was a trail that we as a family would walk over the last 25 years that we've lived in Maryland. It's a very safe, small trail, very public, very open. Moms with baby carriages go down this trail. It's very safe. I was in Kentucky. We had a grandbaby that had passed away. When I got a phone call from my son, and he said, Mom, there's somebody here that would like to speak to you. And when I said hello, the person on the other end said, Hello, Mrs. Morin. This is Detective so-and-so. I'm the lead detective on this case. There's no easy way to tell you this, but we found your daughter's body. And if they find the body, you know that she's dead. But they wouldn't say, we found Rachel. she's alive. And so they found my daughter's body. And when they found it, it just recently has come out that she was brutally beaten, raped, and then stuffed into a drain pipe. We're 18,000 miles, 1,800 miles from the border.
You know, and we can, that's enough. It's enough. I just felt like you needed to hear her voice. And I really, really hate that this stuff is being done to the American people, and it's being done on purpose by this administration. They are bringing these people in on purpose. And still these monsters, they'll sit up in front of you and say things like this to your face.
For 20 years, Kamala Harris has been tough as nails when it comes to securing our border.
Yeah. So I said that to say this. You know, when Trump says or does things I disagree with, I don't give a crap how many people get offended. I say it. I'm not here to carry anyone's water, Trump included. I don't wave pom-poms for politicians. None of them. They're all rental cars to me. Trump, all of them. They all are. Trying to save the country, care about you. That's what I care about. But also, the other side of that coin is when he does great things, says great things, really respect it and I appreciate it, because if he's going to win, if he does win, that's not enough, right? Then the work begins. That's just step one. There's a lot of work to do. And he said things in the past that I've lost my mind about on the air when he talked about recently building the FBI a new building. I just went crazy about over that because when he says stuff like that, it tells me he doesn't get it. He doesn't quite understand how deep the rot goes. He doesn't understand who the enemy is. But man, has he been money on that kind of stuff recently? And I'm hearing things that are giving me hope. Things like this. This is awesome.
If you want to have a sex change or a social justice seminar, then you can do it somewhere else, but you're not going to do it in the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, Space Force, or the United States Marines. Sorry. You're not going to do it there. The military brass that led these absurd and insulting initiatives will likewise be removed, and they will no longer be in command. They're going to be gone so fast.
That's awesome. That is real draining the swamp. That's what it looks like. I've talked about that before. He goes on to say something else too, but I'll play it in a moment. But that is what draining the swamp actually looks like. Not rallies and chants. You have to get in there and you have to attack the deep state, including military brass, FBI, CIA, NSA, EPA, IRS. You have to go in there and dismantle the state. And I'm starting to hear more and more of this, and it is giving me hope that he is getting that there is a lot of work to be done to drain the swamp. And I heard this as well. I heard it this morning. I dang near came out of my chair and freaking cheered. And you know me, right? I'm hard on all these guys, Trump included. Man, this is awesome.
Nominees traditionally get an intelligence services briefing when they become the nominee. Are you getting those briefings now? There was some...
I should clarify before I play this. I'm sorry. When you become the nominee, even if you're not president, you get intelligence briefings. They're not as detailed as the ones you get when you are president. When you are president, you get intelligence briefings. You have the highest level of classification there is when you're a president, so you get everything. You get to know everything. As a candidate, you know, as right now he's just the Republican nominee, you don't get that level of depth at all. But you do get briefings. They want you at least slightly boned up on what's going on in the world, the State Department does, before you take office. That's what he's being asked about.
Nominees traditionally get an intelligence services briefing when they become the nominee. Are you getting those briefings now? There was some controversy about them.
Well, I could if I wanted them, but I don't want them because, number one, I know what's happening. They come in, they give you a briefing, and then 2 days later they leak it, and then they say you leaked it. So the only way to solve that problem is not to take it. I don't want it.
That's awesome. That sounds like a man who understands that the government apparatus itself is against him and against you. No, I don't want State Department briefings. I know how crooked they do it. I know the State Department's full of dirty commies. As soon as he gets this realization, it sounds like he's gotten this realization that these people are actually his mortal enemies and begins treating them that way, the better off we'll be. And that's freaking awesome. Good for Trump. Good for freaking Trump. Speaking of mortal enemies within our government, this Biden DOJ story is a doozy. We'll do that in some emails. Let's talk about enemies. Our enemies right now are internal. They are. They reside within our borders. Most of them are American citizens. In Israel, it's different. In Israel, you wake up and you understand you're under threat of invasion now every day. Rocket sirens, rocket attacks. This is now a way of life in Israel. It's just the way it is. Get to a bomb shelter. It's what you do. Hey, put on your flak jacket, honey. I know you just got home from school. I know that's crazy. That's how people are living right now. The IFCJ is out there trying to bridge the gap in getting people the things they need, keeping people alive, building the bomb shelters, getting them the flak jackets, the armored vans, armored ambulances. That's what IFCJ is doing. Call 888-488-IFCJ or go to supportifcj.org. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. All right. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, download the whole thing. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. I'm going to do this before I get back to the emails here and a couple other things. Biden's DOJ seeks revenge on IRS whistleblowers. This is from The Federalist. Benjamin Weingarten wrote it. He's a wonderful author. I've actually had him on my TV show recently. He's wonderful, but you can go read the case itself. Just remember Hunter Biden. Remember how he was about to get a sweetheart deal on all of his charges, and then the whole thing kind of blew up, and IRS whistleblowers came forward and said, hey, the IRS, they're totally covering up for the whole thing. Well, now, in response to that, it looks like the DOJ and the IRS are punishing the whistleblowers for coming forward. This is so nakedly evil and corrupt, and it's wild to think that that's where we're at as a country. That is where we are. This crazy communism we picture when I call the FBI the Cheka, and we can fool ourselves. I can fool myself into thinking this is some kind of future thing. This is happening now. There are political prisoners now, political assassinations now. The organization, the different institutions of government are attacking the enemies of Democrats now. These things are not happening sometime in the future. If we don't win this election, it's going to happen. These things are happening right now, right in front of us. And we got some rocky times. Hey, Jesse, I don't know if you watched the DNC last night, but in moments before the Manchurian candidate came out front and center, there were a bunch of alleged football players on stage and music started playing. To my surprise, one of the songs playing was the Marine Corps hymn. The media didn't pick up on this, or if they did, they didn't comment. And since he was the ANG, the appropriate piece should have been "The Army Goes Rolling Along." It would be great if you commented on this on your show today. I did see that. I saw the football players. I heard the Marine Corps hymn. A bunch of football players came out in uniform. Hey, Coach Tim! And I think it comes back to what we've already talked about many times before. The Democrats, American Democrats, have a branding problem. They have a branding problem. And that problem is they're seen as unpatriotic, anti-American. And of course they are, right? Everything is how bad America sucks. It's all this
from
stuff.
From the redwood forests, love those redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, At times, I've been on the receiving end of it.
Yes, everyone bow your head and say a prayer for Oprah and all the racism that her $3 billion has experienced. Anyway, it's all that. They have a patriotism problem. Normal people can tell. So how do you... It's not that you can completely get that stigma off of you, but you can kind of sand it down a little. Sand down some of the rough edges a little. How do you do that? You find a military mascot like Tim Walz, and you try to campaign like you're America, apple pie, and baseball. You bring out the football team because that's America. Tim Walz served 24 years in the National Guard. Hard to hate America, of course, when you have such a military service record. No, we're not radical. We don't want to seize your guns. After all, I'm a hunter.
I know guns. I'm a veteran. I'm a hunter. And I was a better shot than...
I do want to take this moment before we get into some emails to remind everybody that the Second Amendment was not about hunting deer. It was about hunting tyrants. It had nothing to do with hunting at all. And it shows your ignorance every time you bring that up, Democrats and Republicans. When you bring it up, it just shows how pathetic you are. The Second Amendment isn't about hunting, and it's not even about self-defense. The Second Amendment is so you can fight the government if you have to. That's what the Second Amendment's for. And today, we are so wussified in this country that no one can have a conversation like that without putting a bunch of qualifiers on it. Well, I mean, I want everybody... No, the Second Amendment was put there by the founders. You can go read it. Go read the Federalist Papers. Go read what they wrote down. It was put there just in case America's government became tyrannical and you had to fight it. That's why the Second Amendment is there. That's exactly why you should be able to own machine guns, claymores, RPGs, and everything else underneath the sun. Why? Because the freaking government has it, and the government will use its guns on you. Oh, that kind of thing can't happen here. Open up a freaking history book for me one time. It happens everywhere. Eventually, when governments get corrupt enough, when they get rotted enough, when the people have had enough, governments, tyrants, they look over at the United States or at the military. They look over at the military, whether it's all those swords, spears, and shields, or whether it's all those guns, tanks, bullets, and bombs. And they think, well, there is a solution to this people problem we have. Why don't we just kill all the troublemakers? And governments have done it almost every time in the history of the world. Of course it can happen here. And the founders knew this. The founders knew a lot more about history than any of us. And so the founders made sure the American citizen could own the finest weapons of the time. And I'm talking even cannons. No matter how many times Joe Biden told you couldn't own a cannon, you of course could own a cannon. And the founders wanted you to own a cannon. You came marching onto someone's property back in the day, 13 colonies time, you might find a cannon pointed at your face at the end of the driveway. And that's how it's supposed to be. All right. Do some emails. Dear 2023 paintball champ, I was watching the Democrat National Convention last night, and at one point, one of the speakers mentioned the right to choose, and a lot of the crowd began cheering. I was disgusted, and I immediately went and gave to Preborn. I am so heartbroken and disgusted that we have a country and culture where people cheer at the ability to murder their unborn babies. He says his name is Jackson. Yeah, there's been a lot of it. I brought up Oprah. Oprah even did that. I mean, gosh.
Now, over the last couple of nights, we have all seen brave people walk onto this stage and share their most private pain. Amanda and Josh, Caitlin, Hadley, they told us their stories of rape and incest and near-death experiences from having the state deny them the abortion that their doctor explained.
Of course, they have to act like it's all rape and incest instead of just killing your baby at will, which is really what they want. Donate to Preborn. It's a great way to fight back. $28 buys the ultrasound that'll save that life Democrats are trying to take. preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.